welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testaments, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Verts. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign into Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 224466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Alternatively, you can find the full recording on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is entitled, Do You Believe in Angels?
Our first reading is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, just the four verse. That's when we hear the coming of Michael. The time Michael, the great prince, which could also be translated the archangel, protector of your people, shall arise. It shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations were first came into existence. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, keep the word secret and the book sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be running back and forth, and evil shall increase. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament is an account of an event that happened at the time of the early church with Peter and the church praying.
Acts 12, verses 1 to 11. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. After he saw that pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the festival of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after Passover. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in the front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around me and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gates leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So, Lene, if there is something that is an encouragement for you, or something that kind of jumped out of the text, do share after. My thought was maybe to ask a question to our listeners. What is your worldview? How do you see the world? Of course, there is seeing the physical world, and those that are listening might come from a scientific background and enjoy understanding all the mechanics of our world. And for some, that's how the world is. It's just a big mechanical clock that can be understood, and there is nothing more to it. But in both the Jewish faith and the Christian faith, and I believe even the Muslim faith, the reality that our world is more than just a big mechanical clock, in the sense that there is also a God who is spirit, but he's not alone. There is also angelic beings, and throughout the Old Testament, that's the scripture for the Jews, and the New Testament, which is the scripture written after the resurrection of Jesus and by the early church. The reality of angels is there throughout. But there is no obsession also about angels. They're just accounts of encounters. And it's not that angels are every day in our thoughts or in our understanding, but they are at work every day. And most of the time, we don't see their influence, but there is a clear message that God is using them to bring forth his purposes, but also at times to protect or deliver his people. And in our Old Testament, we have such an encounter with Daniel, who receives a revelation, an insight into the future, about what is to happen at the very end of time. And throughout the book, there is various visions, and it's not an easy book. And it's a book that was written at a time when the people of God, Israel's, were in exile, and so were under the power of the Babylonian, and were longing to come back to their own place. And so there is lots of various visions about hope of coming back to the land, but also visions that seems to speak of a much more distant future. And it looks like here we're coming to the end of the book, and it seems to be the vision of what will happen at the very, very end, when God will restore and bring for the Christian called the reality of God coming down on earth and renewing both heaven and earth into an eternal place. And there is a clear warning throughout scriptures that some will be ready and will know God and will have this great joy of continuing their life in the presence of God. And some will be caught, could say, by surprise, or will experience something that is not joyful at all, shame and everlasting contempt. And in between, God is always patient and calls all of us to think about what's most important in life, which is our souls and our life after this death, and calls them to think about their meaning, the meaning of life, and the reality of God. And in church, we find this meaning and this reality in a God of love that's shown in what Jesus did, his teaching, but also, more importantly, that he gave his life for all of us, so that we won't face shame and contempt, because that's normally on our own will be the end of all of us. But through his sacrifice, he took our shame, he took our contempt, so that we can be forgiven and become children of God. And that's the message that the early church was proclaiming. And sadly, it's a message that wasn't received very well among the people of God, the Jews. And so we have here one of his representatives, Peter, who, because he was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and he was proclaiming that Jesus is truly the rescuer, is the person they were waiting for. He is the one who can reconcile us to God, because from the start, their religion, even the Jewish religion, was not a religion of work, was not a religion of kind of climbing a ladder towards God, and putting a kind of a balance between the bad things you do and trying to do a bit more good things, so that the balance will tilt and you can earn your entrance into God's presence. It was always a religion of faith. Even for Abraham, he trusted the promise that God will be with him and will be true to his promise. And so Peter was teaching the same faith, saying that in Jesus, God has now accomplished all his promises, a promise of real transformation, not just the transformation of their circumstances, bringing them back to a land and giving them prosperity, but actually the more important transformation, which we all need, which is a transformation from within, a transformation of our heart, making us people who can truly learn to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, but also love everybody else. People who are truly representative of God's heart and God's desire. And for that he sees, he's put in prison and it's night, but the church prays. What's also interesting here is while the angels are active, and we only hear about one particular, but the angels are active, it doesn't mean that bad things will happen even to Christians. We have here, on one hand, James is taken and killed. On the other hand, Peter will be rescued. So it's not an automatic kind of we pray and everything will go be fine. We pray in trust and we pray that God's greatest plans will be revealed and fulfilled. And in that occasion, it was not time for Peter to be taken away. He still had a service to do. And so the church prays and something quite amazing happened. An angel of the Lord appears. And interestingly, again, although they believed in angels and they believed, it's not like Peter knew, oh, there we go, it's an angel, I know it all about it. No, he thought he was kind of daydreaming, or what we sometimes seeing a vision. So it kind of was not just a dream. We know that when we dream, but there he was awake, but he thought it was just happening in front of his eyes and not physically. So he goes all through those motions, believing, you know, it's just a vision that he's seeing. Maybe it's something God is revealing to him. And it's only at the very end, when he's outside and walk on his own, that he realizes, oh, no, it really happened. And so he's delivered by an angel. So for me, is to be encouraged that the events of our world are just not happening because, well, it's just the reality of a big clock and evil, but that God and his angels are actually at work, even if I don't understand the big picture. And that work at times means that circumstances do not change, but we're still kept safe, even through death, by the merits of Jesus. And at times, circumstance seems to change drastically, and there seems to be great deliverance and great rescues. And I think a bit sadly, I'm pretty sure there are many stories of that in current conflicts, whether it's in Ukraine or whether it's in Middle East, of churches praying and experiencing amazing signs of deliverance or protections. And but it doesn't take away that at other times, like James, Christians might, for their faith, die as martyr. And it's not that God has failed, but that in his mystery, it's all about trusting and faith and believing that that our lives are secure in his hands, whether in life or whether in death. God has promised that he will never leave us, and that we are secure in his love when we put our faith in him. So hopefully you'll be encouraged and maybe think for the first time, is there maybe more to it than just this life or a mechanical reality? And is God saying something to me today to maybe start a journey to really think deeply about who Jesus is, an historical figure, and that's been greatly shown in history, and what really happened on the cross? Why is that message so important? So, Lynn, anything you would like to share about?
Well, just that I do believe in angels. And certainly in my prayers every morning, I pray that God's angel army protects me and shows me, you know, shows me what he wants me to do with the day. So I'm always struck with the passage, and his chains fell off his wrists. And you've just simply got to ask yourself, what chains are holding me? Whatever they might be, the prayer has to be that those chains are broken, and we're set free. So yes, I do believe in angels. I don't go talking to any angels, but I do sincerely believe I have an angel, a guardian angel. There's too many coincidences for there not to be an angel in my life. That I've been protected and that I've been led. So the story of St. Michael is and Gabriel, and I never can remember the other two. I ought to remember them anyway. And praise the Lord that he does send them to us. And I suppose when I hear the emergency services quite close to the main road, so I often hear the ambulances racing by, and I always pray that that person's angel and the driver of the ambulance is going ahead of them and going to protect them.
Thank you very much. Well, let's use access to God, which God has promised is free, as we come to him in trust, and that God listened to our prayers as he listened to the prayers of the church at that time when they prayed fervently to God. And thank you for that thought of what are those maybe chains that are keeping us stuck, and how we can ask for those chains to be broken. I like the prayer that was at the end of our first psalm. So we'll use that as a start and then pray for our day, for the world in its needs, and for the church. Send your holy angels to watch over us, O God, that on our lips will be found your truth, and in our hearts your love, so we may ever taste your goodness in the land of the living. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for today, and we pray that your holy angels will indeed lead us into being your people, people of boldness, speaking truth to a world that is so confused, speaking words of wisdom, like we heard in Daniel, that your church, once again, through its teaching, through its witness, will lead many to righteousness.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.